it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Coming to you from Classic City,
the capital of the Bulldog Nation.
It's time for another edition of the podcast designed for the most die-hard Georgia fans in the country.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Glory UGA podcast, brought to you, of course, by the fine people at Alumni Hall. I am Tyler, and finally, guys, as promised several weeks ago, it is time to get to the listener mailbag. This has been a long time coming. I don't think we've done a listener mailbag for at least a month. I know it was certainly pre-spring practice opening up. I think we ran one right before spring practice started, and that, quite frankly, is just unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. That's far too long between mailbag episodes. I love these episodes. They're my favorite really to do each and every month and during the season, each and every week, because I actually get to, in some way, talk to you guys directly. I get to answer your questions directly, and I love having you guys be a part of this show, because that's what this show is about. This show is for you guys. It is a show of the people, for the people, and by the people. So I hate that it has taken me this long to get to a lot of these questions. Some of these questions, I'm not going to lie, I don't know if I would say that they are dated per se, but I think it's fair to say they certainly aren't as relevant as maybe they once were when they were first posed, and that is on me. You guys sent in some fantastic questions, as is always the case, but, you know, running a podcast like this, when breaking news happens, G-Day comes, and you got transfers, I've been doing my best to keep you guys up to date with what's going on in the spring sport, so it's just been tough to fit it in. I've had plans to record this episode about three or four different times over the past couple of weeks, and every single time I've sat down to record it, something else has popped up. Some other news is broken that I had to get to, so I apologize, guys. It's totally 100% on me, but I am going to make up for it here today. We've got a lot of questions to get to. They're kind of all over the place, which I love. I know spring practice has been over for a couple of weeks. We do have some going back to spring practice that I never quite got to touch on, so I am going to go back and revisit those questions because I owe that to you. And I very, very much appreciate all of your patience on this. It's just, man, like, it's been frustrating for me. I know it's been frustrating for you guys waiting on me to answer these questions if you have sent them in, but it's been just as frustrating for me not being able to get to them because I've been wanting to, but things just keep getting in the way. But all right, that's not happening today. Let's dive in. We got a lot to get to, so let's not waste any more time. Let's jump into these mailbag questions. All right, off the top here, you know we like to start with our big picture question of the week or question of the month and a half, I guess, this time around. This one's from Paul, a longtime listener. Paul, really appreciate you, man. Paul always sends in some killer questions. And Paul kind of has a two-part question here. Number one, he asks, how would you project our overall team talent compared to the previous few seasons? And number two, who do you think might break out and be an all-SEC player this season? Two great questions. The first part, I guess in some small way, I kind of addressed it on the first episode of the week, talking about the NFL draft and going through how many young players we had on last year's roster, first and second year players. 57% of our 85 scholarship players last year were first or second players. So I will go back to that and say, Paul, I do believe that our overall team talent, as you ask, will be greater than what we saw last year. A big part of that is we're also throwing in a number one ranked recruiting class with multiple five-star players, multiple highly ranked four-star players, who I think are going to help us this year. Not all of them, but some of them certainly will. So that recruiting class, in conjunction with our outgoing players, only losing eight players to the NFL draft this year, and only is a very strong word because, like I said earlier in the week, most programs would kill to have eight players drafted in a single draft class. Like, they would promote that all over the place. They would use that in recruiting as a way to entice players to come play for us because we can get you the NFL. Well, for Georgia, eight's still good. It's just not quite up to the standard that we've set over the past couple of years. You know, we set a record for NFL draft picks in a single season with 15 back in 2022. So if you look at the crop of players that we're adding with this number one ranked recruiting class, and only losing eight NFL guys off of last year's team. I know Brock Bowers is one of them, and he is an all-time great at the University of Georgia. He is irreplaceable. I fully get that, but as great as Brock was and is, he is still just one player. So if you're asking me the question, which you are, from a totality standpoint of our roster, will the overall roster be more talented? I still say yes, because we have a very, very talented young core returning, and those guys who were young last year, still very much in their developmental stage, they are a year older, a year more experienced, a year closer to being able to be impact players for us. Guys like CJ Allen and Raylan Wilson and Jalen Walker, even Mykael Williams, who has made an impact, but I think he's ready to take the next step and become maybe a top 10 caliber NFL draft pick. A guy like Christian Miller that we discussed a lot last week. Ernest Green, all of these really talented guys who are first and second year players in our program last year, they are going to be better. Like, they always had the talent, but they will be better versions of themselves this year. So they're more equipped to actually have their talent translate to the field more so than they were last year. Then you throw in this top-ranked recruiting class and only losing eight players as opposed to 15 a couple years ago to the NFL draft. And also throw in a really nice crop of transfers into the mix. You get guys like Colby Young, who I think can absolutely be a stud for us. You throw in a guy like Trevor Etienne, who is going to also be incredibly good for us once he actually sees the field. You put that into the mix, and to me it's pretty clear. I absolutely believe this 2024 Georgia football team will be more talented than the 2023 Georgia football team that we saw last year, which, again, oh, by the way, as I mentioned earlier in the week, that team went undefeated in the regular season, pole to pole, as the number one ranked team in the country through the regular season. Yeah, we dropped one to Alabama. We all know what happened there. But that team was incredibly talented. So saying that Georgia is going to be even more talented than 2024, that is a very high standard, and that's not a statement that I take lightly. It's not a statement that I make lightly. I have thought about this a lot over the past couple of months, and I truly believe it, guys, that this 2024 team will be more talented and a better team than we were in 2023. And also, Carson Beck. I mean, Carson Beck was a first-year starter last year, guys, and look how good he was. He's got a full year of experience, a full offseason as the number one guy, wasting all the reps for the ones. He's not having to fight for that job. He knows he's the guy, unquestionably. The team knows he's the guy. They can rally around him throughout the entire offseason. That matters. This team is going to be better. Now, will that translate to as many wins as last year? Are we going to go undefeated in the regular season like we did like the past couple of seasons? I cannot guarantee that. It is a brutal schedule. This is as brutal of a schedule I've seen in the regular season for a Georgia football team probably ever, at least in my lifetime. I mean, this is a murderer's row schedule, and that is going to be a challenge. There's no doubt about it. So I can't guarantee that the results will be the same, but that doesn't mean that this 2024 team will not be more talented than last year's team. We just have a tougher schedule. It'll be tougher to win some of those games. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned, there's zero doubt that this team is more talented than the 2024 team. And some of you might not agree with that. I totally respect that. I know you lose a guy like Brock Bowers. You lose a guy like Ladd McConkey and Amarius Mims, as talented as he was. I mean, look, Javon Buller, Kamari Lassiter, these are really good football players, man, really talented players. I'm not making light of losing them. I'm just looking, okay, yeah, you lose some of those guys, sure. But think about the players that were really young last year who were, sure, they were talented, but it wasn't really translating because they weren't ready. Those guys are going to be ready this year, more so than they were last year, certainly. So that talent will translate, and you throw in a talented young crop of players who they all won't contribute this year, but they're very talented, and also you throw in the transfers who are extremely talented that we wouldn't have taken them if they were not. I think you have the recipe for a Georgia football team that will just be better and more talented in 2024. I'm not saying by leaps and bounds, but 1 through 85, yeah. I think this team will be more talented. As to the second part of Paul's question, who do I think could break out for Georgia this year? Now, this is always a fun offseason question, and I never exactly know how to answer it because the term breakout, that could mean different things to different people. Does that mean somebody who comes completely out of nowhere off the radar and makes an impact this year and now everybody knows his name? and they didn't previously know his name? Or is the guy like who we kind of knew, we were aware of, but he takes his game to another level this year? It's like different people just define it in different ways. So it's tough. And it's also tough to answer this question because I have a number of players this year. Again, 57% of our roster was first and second year players last year. There are a lot of breakout candidates, and I don't exactly know how to narrow the list down. So if it's cool with you, Paul, I'm just going to give you a couple of guys to watch that could be breakout, and you specify all SEC players this season. So I'm going to give you a couple guys that I think can elevate their game to that level this year. Off the top, I'm going to go C.J. Allen. We know who C.J. Allen is. He started a couple games for us last year, played a lot as a true freshman. So that's a name, like if you're a real Georgia fan and you're paying attention and you're not just a casual fan, so basically all of you listening out there, you would fall into that category. You know C.J. Allen. You know the name. You know he's a good player. You know he has a bright future. But I think this year he is going to be ready to take his game to the next level and potentially develop into an all-SEC player. Same thing at the linebacker position. I would also say Jalen Walker. He's not going to start at inside linebacker, but he's going to be in that rotation. And he will be a starter in our dime package as a dynamic pass rusher, which he was last year. This guy was, I mean, he was straight up 100% our most disruptive defender last year. Like, it just really wasn't even close. Like, his pass rush win rate was off the charts last year. He just simply has to play more. He has to be on the field more. And I think he's going to be. Our coaches know that, guys. Like, they know this guy's got to be on the field more. You saw us spend the entire spring developing him at the inside linebacker position so he can be on the field more consistently. Because he's still not a true jack linebacker in the sense of, like, on standard downs, I'm going to be able to set the edge consistently, defend the run there. That's not, he's not quite that body type. I think he could kind of somewhat do it, but not to the level that we probably need him to. So he has to be able to play inside linebacker, which is more of a natural position for him. And he also has those just incredible natural pass rush skills. So you use him off the edge, but you can also play him inside linebacker, get him on the field a little bit more, do some different things with him. Even though he might not start inside linebacker, not going to start inside linebacker, barring injury, I still think that he's going to have the type of impact that could lead to an all-SEC type season. I would give C.J. Allen probably the nod over him right now because I do think C.J. is going to start. He'll rack up more tackles. And you know how these all-SEC, all-American awards go, guys. I mean, they're all driven by stats. So a guy like Jalen Walker who's not going to start, he's not going to have as many tackles, he'll have more sacks, but they're going to look at the tackles and look at the fact that he didn't start, so he's probably not going to be all-SEC. It'll be C.J. Allen ahead of him would be my guess. But I think that Jalen Walker will raise his game to that level to the point, honestly, he'll be, I think he has a good shot to declare early. I think he'll be on the NFL draft board. So we'll see how that plays out. But he's going to be a really good football player for us this year. I'm going to go to the offensive line, which I know is not a sexy position. When you're talking about all-SEC players, I think Jared Wilson could be that guy, a breakout player, a guy that hasn't really done much for us because he's been in Cedric Van Pran's shadow. Now is his time. Kirby talked him up all spring long. I mean, and I've been hearing great things about Jared Wilson going back, you know, a couple of years, guys. Like, that's not news to me. And then I got to see him out there at G-Day. I know it's a spring scrimmage. I understand that. But I saw what I need to see from him. I saw what everyone's been telling me for a while, the athleticism, the strength, the point of attack. I saw those things. So I believe that Jared Wilson, I mean, we'll see. Will he be all SEC? I don't know, but I think he's got the physical skill set to be able to do that. He's been in the system for a long time. I know replacing Cedric Van Pran's tough, but I think if there's anyone equipped to do it on the team, I think Jared Wilson certainly has a very good shot at that. I think he could be an all SEC kind of player for us. So I think he's a name to watch, even though it's not a sexy position. I want to go with some of our receivers, but here's the thing, guys. I love our wide receiver core this year. I really do. You know that. But I just don't know if there is going to be one single receiver who's going to get enough targets, enough balls to rack up enough yards, enough touchdowns to put up the kind of numbers that you've got to put up to be named to one of these all-SEC lists. I just don't know. Like, it could be Dom Lovett, but is he a breakout guy? Because like Dom Lovett led Missouri in receiving 2 years ago. I don't know if he would even qualify as a breakout guy. I have a trouble with that one, but maybe if you want to throw him out there. I think Colby Young's name to watch. I think he's going to be really good for us. I just don't know if he's going to get the targets. He's going to be splitting some time out there with a bunch of really good receivers. So I don't know if any one of those guys, any single one of them will rack up the kind of numbers you need to, but I think they're all going to be really good and can take steps for us and be more of a maybe household names than they were previously. Let's go to a guy that I talked about last week. I think Christian Miller has that kind of talent. I really do. And I know he's probably not going to start this year, at least to open the season behind Warren Brinson. But Christian Miller is going to play a lot. I told you last week, I think he's essentially going to be a co-starter. He's got some positional versatility. I think he could have that type of season. I really do. I think that guy is he's an NFL player. I truly believe that. So there are a couple of names for you. I could go on and on. There are a number of players that I want to throw out there, but I don't want to just throw out every single player on the roster. So we'll stop there, but I think that's a good solid list for you. But all right, guys, we are just getting started today, man. That's one, I guess a two-part opening question, but we have a lot more to get to. But before we move any further, I do want to just quickly remind you once again about the great people at Alumni Hall. And man, I know I tell you guys about Alumni Hall all the time, and I probably sound like a broken record, but just to be perfectly honest with you, like, I never cease to be amazed by Alumni Hall and just the incredible selection of George gear they have, things that I just don't see anywhere else. You don't find anywhere else. Cool new vintage items that, you know, I love, brand new hats, brand new brands that they haven't offered before. I mean, guys, they truly do have anything that you could possibly want as a Georgia fan. It is a Georgia fan's paradise. Great men's selection, women's selections, kids selection, car selection, home and office selection, all of that, whatever you want, they're going to have you covered. So do yourself a favor. And next time you're in the Athens area, just stop inside the Epsbury Shopping Center and visit Alumni Hall in store. Or if you're never in the Athens area, it won't be until football season, it's all good. You can still shop online, guys. All the same great stuff, it's online. I try to get in store as much as I can because I like to try things on. But I also do a fair amount of shopping online, and they have the best customer service. They get out to you extraordinarily quickly. They wrap it up. I mean, those of you who have gotten stuff from them online, you know. If you know, you know. They wrap it up, and they just put it's a special little touches, the small things they do. Nobody does like Alumni Hall. I can just guarantee you that. So give them a shot, because Alumni Hall is where the Bulldogs shop.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
All right, guys, let's keep this train rolling. We have a lot more to get to today. Let's go to question number two. And this is from my man, Cliff, who, by the way, guys, I just got to give my man, Cliff, a shout out here. Those of you who have been listening to this podcast for a long time, you know Cliff. You know him just by virtue of me talking about him here on the show, because Cliff has always been a prolific asker of questions for these mailbag episodes. We go way back with Cliff here on this podcast, and you know, we interact a little bit off the air, emailing back and forth, and Cliff was always one of my favorite listeners to interact with on social media, and then Cliff kind of just disappeared, and I hadn't heard from him in a while, so I searched up his name on Twitter, and I couldn't find anywhere. I was like, man, like, what's going on? And I didn't know what happened to Cliff, and I was worried about it, man. And then Cliff, a couple of months ago, I think during the season at one point, reached out to me, emailed me, and just gave me an update on what's going on with him. And he is very much still around, and he is back on social media, and I am thrilled about it. So, Cliff, we missed you, buddy, and it is great to have you back on here, have another Cliff question. And I'm just really glad things are going so great for you now, man. But all right, let's get to Cliff's question here, all right? Cliff wants to know about Mykel Williams. He says Mykel Williams certainly made his presence felt at G-Day, and I would certainly have to agree with you there, Cliff. And then he asks, what are your expectations of him and have they increased based off of what you saw? Cliff, I think Mykel Williams is a freaking monster. I said going into last season, you guys probably remember this, and I will own it, it didn't work out the way that I thought it would. I was extremely high on Mykel Williams coming in last year. I thought I saw some signs from him as a true freshman back in 2022. You could just see the raw talent. Now, he still had a lot of room to grow from a technical standpoint, and he lost some snaps on standard downs as the season progressed to Tramell Walthour because Tramell just simply defended the run better than Mykel did. But Mykel was always a dynamic passer. She always had those skills. So I thought, you know, going into year two, he would naturally improve and develop those run defending skills, become more of a technician in that spot, and become more of an every down type player and not as much of a pass rushing specialist, which he kind of turned into late in 2022. However, I was wrong. I will defend myself in saying that a big part of why Mykel did not make that jump, he did make some progress last year for sure. He played more than he did in 2021, played more on standard downs, but he didn't take the kind of jump as like a disruptive force in our defense, like it's just a game-changing type guy, which I thought he could be. That's what I was saying he was going to be coming to last year, and it didn't quite turn out that way. I missed that. But a big part of that was the injury situation. I underestimated how much time he missed and how his growth was stunted to a degree because the time he missed, going back to spring practice and certainly in fall camp. He was not fully healthy to open the season. And you miss that kind of time when you're still very much in a developmental stage. And I should have seen that. That's on me. I should have understood that. And I learned my lesson there. I was just so high on his physical ability. But when you're that young, it's like the Arian Smith situation, right? When you're that young and you've got to grow from a technical standpoint, from a fundamental standpoint, you need reps. And when he missed all those reps in the spring and fall due to injury, it just simply set him back from a developmental standpoint. He still had the raw talent, still had the skills, the pass rush ability. He's had that. That's never been a question. But he wasn't able to make the kind of leap that I was hoping he would be able to because he just wasn't as polished as he needed to be from a technical fundamental standpoint. This year, however, that is going to change. He was healthy all spring. You saw the returns at G-Day. You're right, Cliff. The guy was off the charts. He was one of the stories of G-Day. He was all over the place making play after play against one of the, if not the best, offensive lines in the entire country. This dude is ready to break out. I could have included him on my breakout list with question number one, but I think he already is kind of that guy. Like, you know who he is. I mean, could he technically qualify as a guy that hasn't been All-SEC that now can become All-SEC? Yeah, probably. I just feel like everyone knows Mykel Williams, a former five-star guy. And, you know, we flipped him from USC late in the cycle. I mean, I think you know him, so I don't necessarily classify that as a breakout player. But maybe he could fall on that list again, depending on how you define that. But I think Mykel Williams is going to have the type of year this year that I was expecting to have last year, barring injury. So let's hope that doesn't nothing happens in fall camp, because that would certainly set him back. But if he remains healthy, which I don't even put that out there, man, just knock on wood, I think Mykel Williams is going to have an All-SEC caliber year this year. In fact, I think Mykel Williams is going to have the type of year that could catapult him into the top 10 NFL draft pick conversation. Now, the caveat here is how in the world are we going to use him? We have talked about that a lot during the offseason. I talked about how at G-Day he played Jack sparingly, and that was the talk, you know, leading up to spring practice. Hey, Mykel Williams is making the move to Jack linebacker from the 5-tech. Not so fast. You know, the first week of practice, as we talked about, he comes out and says, like, I'm still playing 5-tech. I'm still in Coach Scott's meeting rooms. And I'm just going over to work with the outside linebackers in certain sessions of practice, working on some drops and things like that. So he's going to play some Jack, but it'll be situational. And I'm very interested to see how that works out actually on the field. I don't think we wanted to show what our plans were with him at G-Day. Why would you? There's no need to do that. So I imagine he'll play more Jack during the actual season in real games than he did at G-Day. But I don't know what that exactly will look like. But here's what I'm confident that we're going to be doing this year. We're going to try to maximize this young man's skill set as a pass rusher. We're going to try to get him in situations where he can use his skill set to change the game, to be a game-changing force on our defensive line, whether that's at Jack, whether that's at the 5-tech. Because he has that ability, guys. And this is a money year for him. I mean, look, I'm just going to be straight up with you guys. Mykel Williams, you know, he was USC, then he flipped to Georgia. USC has not given up on him, just like with Christian Miller. You know, there's a lot of back channeling going on there. You can call it tampering if you want, but I guess technically there's rules against him, but no one enforces the rules. So it's just the wild, wild west out there. He was strongly entertaining the idea of transferring in that December window. But through conversations with our staff, you know, we talked him into staying, and one of the selling points is, hey, we're going to use you more as a pass rusher. We're going to play you more at the Jack. So I'm confident it's going to happen. Again, I just don't know exactly what it's going to look like. Will it be situational? What situations will it be? I don't have the answer to that, but I'm just very confident that we're going to use him more appropriately this year. We're going to use him in a way that will actually allow him to rush the passer and put up bigger sack numbers, which will enable him to potentially join that all-SEC list and maybe even enter the top 10 of that 2025 NFL draft. So my expectations, Cliff, are extremely high for him. I think he's going to be a big-time player. I think he's going to be one of the more disruptive defenders in the entire SEC this year and be the type of player that I thought he was going to be last year. I was maybe just a year early on that. But thank you for the question, Cliff. Again, man, it's just so great to have you back here on the podcast. But all right, let's keep rolling here. Another question from Gregory. Going back to spring practice, ask, what development surprised you the most from Georgia's spring practice? Man, that's a tough one. I don't know that there was all that much that was crazy surprising to me. Maybe the Mykel Williams situation, not playing as much Jack as I thought he would be. And along the same lines, I guess I'd probably say Chaz Chambliss. I did not expect Chaz Chambliss to be out there with number one defense playing as many snaps as he did. I know it was just G-Day, and are we showing everything? I don't know, but it's shaping up to be another year where Chaz Chambliss is going to play a lot of snaps for us at Jack on standard downs. And I thought Mykel would be the guy who would eat into those snaps. I thought one of the values that Mykel would bring to the Jack is certainly as a pass rusher, but also just the size-strength combination would allow us to be more proficient against the run on the edge, just setting the edge there against the run. We know we had a lot of issues with the perimeter run game. It just made a lot of sense to me to move Mykel over to Jack, and because you have a guy like Tyrion Ingram Dawkins, and maybe that was part of the equation too in the spring, is that TID wasn't healthy, wasn't available, so we had to have somebody play over there. So you have Mykel. Like, maybe that's part of the equation. I don't know, but I was just not equipped to see Chaz play as many snaps, and I was wrong on that. And like, we'll see what happens once we get to the actual season when everybody's fully healthy. But it looks like Chaz is probably going to be a big part of our defense again, especially on standard downs. So that was a little surprising to me. And then offensively, I would say Arian Smith. This is a guy that I've always felt could be a really good receiver for us and an impact type guy. He could give us more than he has given us. You know that. All of you have been here for a long time. You would know how I felt about Arian Smith and how I felt his development was stunted by all the injuries he dealt with. So I've always felt like the talent is in there to do something, but it's like, okay, the time is now. Like, the clock is ticking and you don't have much more time. And you feel like that every single year. I didn't even know if Arian was going to come back this year. He did. I think it was probably the right decision for him. Was where was he going to go? I guess he could transfer, but he spent the time in here at Georgia. So let's finish the drill, man. Let's go back to an old Mark Richt-ism there. And Arian Smith taking the kinds of steps that he took this spring, according to all accounts, everyone I talked to that saw practice, whether they were coaches, whether they were people here in Athens, just listening to what Kirby Smart had to say, reports coming out of the scrimmages. Arian Smith was just making plays all spring long. Again, I knew he had that in him, but I can't say I necessarily expected it because it's been a while now and he hasn't really ever been able to translate it onto the field. But it looks like he's showing signs of being able to change that this year. So maybe not the most shocking thing in the world, but I still think it's fair to call that a very pleasant surprise. So there's a couple of things that I was at least moderately surprised by this spring. Okay, next up, Trevor has a question about the defensive line, which I have talked about a fair amount since the end of spring practice, but man, I'm happy to talk about it again. Trevor asks, do you believe that the defensive line has improved enough to stop the run up to Georgia standards, or will we have to wait until the season begins to truly know? I mean, the answer, Trevor, is probably what you said there, the last part of your question. We'll probably have to wait the season to really, truly know. However, I will attempt to answer your question based off what I have seen, which admittedly is not a ton. It's just what you guys saw at G-Day. Talked to a few people who have been in practice and seen some things. So there's that. But I like to rely on what I've seen to really make these kind of judgments. And based off what I have seen at G-Day, and also based off what I saw from these guys last year, I do believe that we are going to be better on the defensive line. Now, are we going to be what we were in 21 and 22? No, we will not, because we do not have a Jalen Carter type on this defense. We do not have a Jordan Davis type on this defense. We don't have those kind of guys. But I do firmly believe that we will be better. My reasoning for that is because we basically have the same guys playing on the defensive line, sans Zion Logue, who went to the NFL, right? We add Xavier McLeod. He's a new guy coming from South Carolina, but We have Warren Brinson. We have Nazir Stackhouse. We have Christian Miller. We have Jamal Jarrett. We have Jordan Hall. The same guys that were in the equation last year, they're back this year. But the reason I believe that we will be improved on the defensive line from where we were a year ago is that all those young guys are just simply ready to take a jump this year. They are a year more experienced. They are a year older. They are a year better. Those guys were not really ready last year. Jordan Hall had to play early by necessity. The guy just simply wasn't ready. He's going to be very good. I think he has the highest ceiling of anyone on the defensive line. He's going to be great for us. But he wasn't ready as a true freshman. Very few guys are on the defensive line. Jamal Jarrett certainly wasn't ready. Didn't really play much at all until late in the year. Played more in the Orange Bowl. Thought he looked good. Thought he looked good at G-Day. He's getting his body in shape and doing some good things. I'm hopeful that he can be a factor for us this year. Christian Miller was the best young defensive lineman that we had last year. But he was still young and largely playing out of position. But he's going to be a year better, a year bigger, a year stronger, all those things. And then you throw in a guy, Xavier McLeod, who I saw some flashes from at G-Day. I'm not counting on him necessarily because I do think he's still very much developing as a young defensive lineman, but I saw the skill set, so it wouldn't shock me if he gets in there and gets some reps and gets in the rotation to some degree. And then you got Nazir Stackhouse and Warren Brinson, who are largely what they are, but they're going to be a year more experienced. Those are like the guys you're going to lean on to start this year. So absolutely, with all the young guys elevating their game to another level in their second year of actually playing football, and Jamal Jarrett actually be his first year actually being on the field, yeah, absolutely our defensive line will be better than it was last year. I was just still stopped short of saying it'll be anything close to what we saw in 21, certainly 21, and without a guy like Jalen Carter, I just don't see how it's going to be even what it was in 2022. So better, yes, but as to your question, Trevor, will it be up to Georgia standards? That just depends on what you define as Georgia standards. If you define that in 2021, then absolutely not. 2022, I think, will be closer to what we were in 22. Just maybe a touch off. Because again, we don't have that one just dominating game changer up front like Jalen Carter. But I am encouraged by what I saw up front. And I don't think we have to be as good as we were in 21 and even 22, because I think our offense is going to be that much better this year. And I think we have a ton of talent around the defensive line that, even though the defensive line is a critical piece of what we do throughout the entire team, not just defensively, it's a very important piece, but I think we just have so much talent, and if they take a slight step forward, which I believe they certainly will, more than a slight step, then I think we'll certainly be in better shape up front defending the run.
The world's most exciting podcast, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
I'm Michael Savage, host of the Savage Nation podcast, home of borders, language, and culture. Hear my new podcast each week as I speak with top guests from around the world. Right now we have over 700 shows in our library, featuring interviews with world leaders, scientists, faith teachers, and more, including President Donald Trump, Prime Minister of Israel Ehud Barak, Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb, Jerry Falwell, and so much more. Conversations and commentary you cannot find anywhere else. Other guests have included Samuel Cohen, the father of the neutron bomb, Breitbart's Alex Marlow, the great author Peter Schweitzer, Colonel Douglas McGregor. Be here or be nowhere. The Savage Nation Podcast. Catch the Michael Savage Podcast on all podcast platforms every Tuesday and every Friday.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LipsandAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
All right, guys, let's keep going here. I have a ton of questions to get to, and to be quite honest with you, I'm probably not going to get to all of them today, which is all good. I owe you guys a couple mailbag episodes, so we're going to make this a two-parter. I'll run part two, the last episode of the week. But today, I want to close out the last couple questions here with all the questions that relate to spring practice. I just want to go ahead and get those out of the way, because the further we get away from spring practice, the less relevant they are. And I know it's my fault that we have waited this long. I own that. But let's go ahead and get to some more spring practice related questions. And we've got one from Drill Dog, who's been a great loyal listener for a long time. Appreciate you, man. And Drill Dog asks, what non-starter are you most excited about in the program? Which non-starter would you be the most upset about leaving for the portal? There's just so many promising players on the field at G-Day. Yeah, man, I totally agree. Obviously, the portal thing, the portal closes on the 30th. So I'm recording this on the 29th. So by the time you're listening to this, The portal will probably already be closed, but I will still answer the question anyway because, again, it's my fault that we waited this long. But the first part of Jordoff's question, what non-starter are you most excited about in the program? Man, that's a tough question because, again, there's a lot of them. I guess I would probably go Jalen Walker because, as I said earlier in the show, I think this guy is going to be a game-changing type pass rusher, the dynamic type pass rusher that we just simply haven't really had in a while at Georgia. Like a natural pass rusher, not a guy that can only rush a passer because he's blitzing from different angles. A guy that you can line up on the outside and he can just win one-on-one. We haven't had a ton of those guys, all right? He is that dude. Mykel can be that guy as well, but he's a starter. I mean, I guess you could say Jalen's a starter in the dime package, but he doesn't start in our regular base defense, which you don't really ever run, but like our nickel package, our standard down defense. He'll be in the rotation, but he's not really a starter. So I'd probably have to go Jalen Walker. I think he could be an all-SEC caliber player, as I mentioned. I think he could work himself even into like conversation with his first-round draft pick if he has like a huge breakout year. Now, it'll take a big breakout year, but I mean, he's got that kind of potential, man. I think he'll test off the charts whenever he gets to the NFL combine. I hope he stays around for a fourth year. I don't know if we're going to be that lucky. So he's certainly one I'd put on that list. Offensively, I'm going to go Anthony Evans. Guys, I am fascinated by Anthony Evans. I think this guy is dynamite in a small package, but an absolutely dynamite player in the slot. He's kind of what I've always dreamed about in the slot. And look, Ladd was amazing. And I'm going to miss Ladd. But Ladd's a different kind of player. I mean, really good athlete. I mean, 4.39 40. I mean, that speaks for itself. And that shocked a lot of people. I mean, I thought Ladd was fast. Faster than people give him credit for. I was thinking like maybe like mid 4.4s, maybe low 4.4s at best. I didn't see a 4.39 getting bust out at the NFL Combine. So, man, that was absurd by Ladd. So, Ladd is a great athlete in his own right, but what made him special was his route running, his ability to create separation with just precise route running. He's just elite at that. Anthony Evans is a little bit different. This guy, I mean, I'm not saying he can't run routes. I haven't seen him run a ton of them, so it's hard to really tell that. But just from a pure speed athleticism standpoint, the guy's off the charts, man. I mean, he's a 10-200-meter guy that was coming out of high school. I just simply don't know what slot defenders, what safeties, certainly linebackers, are going to be able to stay with this guy. And you can say the same thing about Arian Smith, yes, but Anthony Evans is also more like a true receiver coming out of high school than Arian was. I'm just fascinated by him, man. I am sky high on what he can bring us. Unfortunately for him, and it's not unfortunately for us, it's great to have multiple weapons there, but Dominic Love is ahead of him right now in the slot. He's going to be the starter at that spot. But I'm telling you, Anthony Evans is going to play a lot for us this year in year two. Just know that. Anthony Evans is going to make game-changing plays for us this year. I would say multiple game-changing plays for us. He's just too dynamic. And we just haven't had those kind of guys in the slot, like with that type of skill set. So I am just extremely excited about Anthony Evans. I think he'll make some plays for us this year, a lot of plays for us this year, and I think he might be our top offensive weapon in 2025. I truly believe that, guys. Like I think he might be that guy. I mean, just think about how those type of receivers have been used in the NFL over the past couple of years. Guys like Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp a couple years ago. I think you can say Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit. Those dynamic, speedy, shifty slot receivers, they used to not really have much of a place in the NFL. Now they're all the rage. That's what everybody's looking for, right? I think we have our guy. I think he is that type of guy in the slot for us, and I cannot wait to see him out in the field this year. I think he's going to be dynamic. But as for the second part of Drill Dog's question, which non-starter would I be most upset about leaving for the portal, hypothetically, if they had left for the portal? Can I cheat and say Jalen Walker again? Can I cheat and say that? No, I'll go somewhere different. I think it just kind of makes sense to say Jalen Walker, maybe even Anthony Evans, but I'll switch up a little bit here for you guys. Raylan Wilson, I think he's a guy that's going to be really, really good for us. He's going to be in the rotation this year. He's not going to start, but you guys know, going back to last year, how high I am on his long-term potential. That's a guy that I would hate to have lost the portal. That was never going to happen. Christian Miller, we talked to him about him a lot last year. I felt like that was going to be a bigger loss than apparently a lot of people did. I'm much higher on Christian Miller, apparently, than a lot of people are. And again, guys, as I said last week, I am fully aware that Christian Miller did not start for us. A lot of people want to make sure they remind me about that. Hey, you, like, how can you be up that upset? He didn't even start for us last year. It's not a big loss. Okay, like, that was last year. I'm projecting ahead to 2024. I saw a lot of good things from a first-year player last year who I think can take another step and be a really good defensive lineman for us at a position of tremendous need and a position that's just so important to our success defensively and really as an entire football team. I did not want to lose Christian Miller because we don't have a ton of depth, guys. We do not have a ton of returning quality depth. We have some guys that are talented in the pipeline, guys like Jamal Jarrett and, as I mentioned earlier, Xavier McLeod. I don't know how ready they are this year. There were four guys that I felt comfortable coming in this year that were ready to help us on the interior of our defensive line. Obviously, Warren Brinson, obviously not Isaiah Stackhouse. Then you throw in Jordan Hall and Christian Miller. You lose one of those guys, now you're in the position we're going to have to rely on somebody who's essentially never really played at this level. And in the SEC, a championship caliber program, a championship caliber team that has aspirations to win national title, that's not really a position that you want to be in. So I know he reversed course, and thank God he did, so it's all a moot point. But I had been hearing, you know, little whispers for a couple of weeks and months that Christian Miller had kind of been, you know, positioning for more money, and I don't want to get into all that. And so I wasn't shocked when he entered the portal. I was surprised it happened that day at that time. I didn't know it was coming. I didn't have any advanced knowledge, but when it hit, I was kind of like, I'm not shocked by this. It makes sense. And it's kind of what I had heard was maybe possibly going on behind the scenes, but I was still pissed. I was upset, man. It's like, we need that guy. And so I know people disagree with me on that. I think I was making a bunch out of nothing, but I'll stand by it, man. I think Christian Miller is going to be a very important piece to this Georgia defense this year and to our defense getting back to be able to defend the run better than we did last year. I don't want to say as well as we did in 21 and in 22, but certainly better than we did last year, which was not good enough by Georgia standards. All right, we have one more question pertaining to the transfer portal. This is coming from Kaysen. Kaysen says, and I appreciate Kaysen. Kaysen says, I was expecting to lose more players to the transfer portal after spring practice. In your opinion, why haven't we seen as many players hit the portal as we thought would? Now, in Kaysen's defense, I think this question was originally sent in like right after Andrew Paul entered the portal. And that was like one, at the time, the only big name. I don't even know if it was a big name. It's just a name. And, you know, there were people that were sitting on pins and needles, like expecting some big names potentially in the portal. And I don't know that I was sitting on pins and needles, but I was certainly watching it closely because I know how much talent we have. And some of these guys, like, they're being recruited all the time by other programs. And you just never know. That draw can be too much for them to pass up. But here's why I think that we escaped, I don't want to say unscathed. I would love to have Andrew Paul still on this roster, but relatively unscathed compared to what it could have been. I think there's two things to think about here. Number one, I do think the SEC rule banning intra-conference transfers in this spring transfer window, I think that had a big part to do with it. Because if you're on Georgia's football team, you're a pretty damn good player, right? That's why you came to the University of Georgia. We would not recruit you otherwise. And you're also, I mean, not everybody, but a lot of them are from the Southeast. And if you're a good football player, you're from the Southeast, it just makes sense you want to stick in the Southeastern Conference because that is where the best football is played. That's where the majority of your national and championship contenders on an annual basis are. It's also kind of like your home turf in a way, right? You want to be as close to home as possible a lot of the time. So I do think that's a big part of it. They just didn't have that option in this spring transfer window. They could not transfer to an SEC school. I think a lot of them, if they were interested in transferring, it would be to an SEC school, and they kind of missed the boat on that. That's part one. The other part is, I think what we're seeing right now is the market has kind of settled at this point. The market was chaotic back in December. Guys trying to find out what their market value was, and players just wanted to test it to see what this player is getting, see what I can get. But I think now at this point, the collectives have had an opportunity to themselves also realize what the market value is for these guys. And they've had a chance to kind of just take a deep breath, had a couple of months following that chaotic December transfer window, and they had a chance to get their ducks in a row, per se, and to go ahead and figure out, okay, this guy, how much are we going to pay him? What does he need to keep him happy, keep him on the roster? So I think they've been able to manage it more. They have more experience doing this, and they kind of know what the going rate is at specific positions and for specific caliber players based on their experience, based on their production, all those kind of things. So I think in a big way, a lot of the players who might have been candidates to enter the transfer portal in the spring window, the collectives took care of them. They figured out what those guys needed. They had time to get everything together, to get everything organized, and they took care of business. And so there just simply weren't as many big-time prospects who were going to enter the portal as a lot of people were projecting. Because there were some talking heads out there, national talking heads, that were, and they were predicting mass chaos, mass defections, things you've never seen before. And yeah, that didn't happen. And I think what happened is they kind of underestimated how these collectives had adapted to the situation and had figured out how to manage it and figure out how to keep these guys on their roster, at least for this one particular transfer window. So I think that was a big part of it as well, along with specifically with Georgia and the ban on intra-conference transfers in this spring window. So that's probably the two-pronged answer to that question as far as I'm concerned. All right, guys, we're going to close things out today with this final question. Again, we're going to run part two of this mailbag later on this week. So if you send in a question, I have not gotten to it yet. I promise you, I have not forgotten about you. I just want to try to get through as many of these spring practice questions as I possibly could to go ahead and get those out of the way since we are getting so far removed from spring practice. So one final question here. It does relate directly to spring practice. Joseph asks, of all the freshmen that you saw at G-Day, which one would you pick to have the biggest impact on Georgia's 2024 season? Thank you for the question, Joseph. And man, that's always a really fun question to answer because it's sheer speculation. Yeah, you can base it off what you saw from them. In high school, you have a little bit to go off of at the college level in terms of a spring game. But I mean, we know we don't want to overreact too much to that. And you hear things coming out of practice. You also think about, okay, positionally, where are there opportunities available? That's a big part of the equation. If there just simply aren't opportunities at their position, it's going to be really tough for them to crack the two deep to be able to make the kind of impact that maybe their talent would suggest they would be able to. Just don't have the opportunity. So all of those things go into it. And if I had to pick one, to me, it's clear. You guys know I'm really, really high on Jonah Joseph Ajayi. I think he's going to be an elite five-tech defensive end for us eventually. I don't know if he'll be elite as a freshman. However, I think he is going to play as a freshman. I think there'll be a little bit of a rotation there with Tyrone Ingram-Dawkins and Gabe Harris as well. But there are a couple guys ahead of him right now. That position is not wide open. He's not going to really have a chance to start at that position, although he will play, in my opinion. To me, the answer is really, it's a two-horse race. And they're both DBs. It's either Ellis Robinson the fourth at cornerback or KJ Bolden at safety. And I am going to give the slight edge to KJ Bolden. And here's the reason. I'm not saying that KJ Bolden is a superior athlete, a superior player. I'm not saying long term he's going to go higher in the NFL draft. I'm not saying anything like that. It's more of an opportunity based thing. Now, I will allow that the cornerback spot is certainly open. There is an open competition at both those cornerback spots. So Ellis Robinson IV certainly does have an opportunity. I'm not trying to suggest that he does not. There is an opportunity there. However, what I would argue is that the players competing with him for those two cornerback spots, they're just simply of a higher caliber than the players that KJ Bolden is competing with at that safety spot opposite Malachi Starks. I love Dan Jackson. He's a much better athlete than the average fan wants to give him credit for. He has started multiple games for us, and he's just been a really valuable part of this team, special teams-wise, or as a reserve role in the secondary. I love Dan Jackson, but he's not KJ Bolden-level type athlete. He's just simply not. Ja'Cory Thomas thinks he'll be a good player for us. He might well start the season. Maybe, possibly. He's not a KJ Bolden-level athlete. He's just simply not. It's not really even a close competition there. Same thing with David Daniel Sisavon. I do really like Jake Pope. Jake Pope might be the proverbial fly in the ointment here when it comes to KJ Bolden potentially starting at that spot. And I don't really have an expectation for KJ to start week one because we are playing a legit Power 5 opponent in Clemson. We saw a similar scenario with Malachi Starks back in 2022. However, I just do think there's a better chance that KJ has to start a game at some point in 2022 than there is for Ellis Robinson because, again, those players that he is competing with at corner are just simply higher quality players. Guys like Daylon Everett, guys like Julian Humphrey, guys like Daniel Harris, they're all really, really talented football players in their own right. And not that Ja'Cory Thomas and David Daniel and Dan Jackson aren't. I just don't think they are as good of players and as good of athletes as the guys at cornerback. I just simply don't. So I do think that KJ Bolden has a slightly better opportunity based on that to eventually find his way in the starting lineup. And I do think that KJ is going to play some this year, even if he doesn't start. I do think he will play some actual meaningful snaps on defense. I would probably say the same thing about Ellis Robinson. I think he's just one of those guys that's going to be too talented to keep off the field. I've said it a couple times. I'll say it again. I think that there's a better than average chance that we will have some sort of rotation at cornerback in a way that we really haven't had ever before under Kirby Smart. We started to see a little bit last year with Julian Humphrey as the season progressed before he suffered that season-ending injury. But I think this year we're going to see like a legitimate rotation at corner the way that we've seen maybe at inside linebacker in recent years. Because we just have so many guys that can play and deserve to play. And if they don't play, they're going to transfer out. And you want to keep those guys in your program to keep that room stocked. So they're going to play. I would expect Ellis to have a chance to play. I just don't know if he'll have as much of an opportunity to start the way that K.J. Bolden will. But it wouldn't shock me if the answer was Ellis Robinson. And we're splitting hairs here. They're both super talented players. But those are the two obvious names, in my opinion. And I do think both those guys will help us win football games this year. But all right, guys, that does it for me today here on the Glory J Podcast. Part one of our post-spring mailbag edition of the podcast. We will have part two coming up later this week. So there's still some time to send in questions. I know a lot of you have sent in questions already, but if you have some more questions that have not been sent in, feel free, guys, send those on in. You can hit us up on Twitter. It's at @glory_UGA. You can find us on Instagram. Just search up Glory UGA Podcast. You can email us at gloryujapodcast@gmail.com. And you can also just put questions in the comments of our YouTube videos. I'm trying to answer as many of those comments as I can. And if you have some questions, you can hit us up there. So a lot of ways to get those questions to us, guys. Whatever works easiest for you, just send them our way, and I will make sure to answer them as quickly as I possibly can. I know this last time I did not do a great job of that, but I am determined to not allow this to happen again. We're going to have our mailbag episodes back on a regular basis throughout the rest of the offseason as we get closer and closer to the 2024 football season, which, man, oh my God, we're about to enter May. We're getting closer, guys. We're getting closer, but still, it cannot get here soon enough. I love Georgia baseball, man. I love Georgia tennis, but I need some Georgia football back in my life. But real quick, before I close things out today, just a friendly reminder. I'm so grateful for you guys listening to this podcast and supporting us all through the last decade that we've been doing this podcast. I cannot thank you guys enough. You know that. But now we really are. I'm trying to get this YouTube channel off the ground. We started a little bit last summer, did a couple videos, and I just got overwhelmed when the season started, because I wasn't proficient at how to do it, to be quite honest with you. I taught myself how to do it during the off season, during the summer, and was kind of, I mean, I could make a video. They weren't great. It just took me forever because I wasn't proficient. I wasn't great at it. And doing four podcast episodes a week and writing for Dogs Daily, just the something had to give, and the something was YouTube videos, because it was, I was about to lose my mind. But I've gotten better at it. I've gotten more proficient at it. I'm learning more and more as time goes on. And it doesn't take as much time as it once is. It still takes time, but not as much time. So I am determined to get this YouTube channel off the ground and get this thing rolling. I have a ton of big plans for you guys. I have a lot of like film plans for you guys, breaking down tape plans, because I am actively working on that right now. I'm going through the rewatches, watching all these games over again with a fine-tooth comb, making copious notes. In fact, I'm charting every single play of every single game. That's what I'm doing right now, guys. Behind the scenes, when I'm not recording podcasts, in my spare time, what I'm doing is watching these games, I'm charting every single play, because I don't want to spoil it. I have a lot of plans for it. I'm just going to put that out there. So I'm so grateful for those of you who have already subscribed to the channel, who are watching the videos and liking, subscribing, all of that stuff, commenting. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, because it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, I'm not going to lie. And it's great to see that some people are enjoying it. But if you have not followed us, follow the channel on YouTube, please. I would ask you, if you do YouTube at all, even if you don't, just get on there and it takes 2 seconds, subscribe to the channel so you can get our videos directly uploaded to your account, and like the videos, comment, all those things. It's a huge help, guys. I really, really appreciate it. I am excited about the opportunities I have to bring you guys some different content, some things I just simply can't do with this audio medium. So yeah, if you guys have it in you, if you would, please, if you have a moment or two, go to YouTube, search up Glory UJ Podcast, watch those videos, subscribe to the channel, like, comment, all those things. It's just, it's greatly appreciated, guys. I really, really do. I really appreciate it. So yeah, done with the pandering. Thank you for listening, guys. You're the best. I'm Tyler. And as always, go Dawgs.